Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Social Ninjas Podcast, where your hosts, Kyle and Jeremy, have vulnerable conversations with the most successful entrepreneurs in the world to learn how they created and maintained an optimal mental health while building a thriving business. If you are an entrepreneur in the early stages of building your business who wants to learn techniques, tips, and tricks to improve your mental health to keep you and your business running smoothly, you're in the right spot. Quick disclaimer before starting the show. Kyle, Jeremy, and the guests they bring on the show are not health professionals, and what they say should not be used in place of or replacement of medication or your doctor. Enjoy the show!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Social Ninjas Podcast. That's my crowd. We have a low budget here. I have a special guest. Kyle couldn't make it. He's saving the world and he's flying around the world saving lives. Special guest, Justin Guarini.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for asking. Good. Thanks so much for coming on today. And for the huge beings that are listening, they're like, who is Justin Guarini? Who?
Yeah.
Who are you? What do you do? Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, I'll give you the old elevator pitch. So you might have seen me on the first season of American Idol back in 2002. I made it all the way to the finale. Week in and week out, I was performing for 30 million people on live national television, which was an awesome experience. And then went on from there to tour around the country and around the world, singing and acting and dancing. Made my way to Broadway, where I've starred in six Broadway shows. And you may have seen me pop up on your screen as a lovable little rock star who hands out sweet treats to people who deserve it. Of course, I'm talking about Lil Sweet, the character from Dr. Pepper in the commercial ads. That's me. I have taken almost 30 years of experience in the entertainment industry. And even though my hand was a little forced, I'm glad it was forced because of the pandemic. Because my industry basically shut down, I doubled down on something I had been doing for years, but never really put all of my energy into, and that is coaching and mentoring. And so now I am a confidence coach and a consultant. I formed a company called Profit Under Pressure, LLC. And I'm excited to be helping coaches and entrepreneurs and authors and influencers of all kinds from all walks of life really understand how to create core confidence within themselves that allows them to really go from struggle to strength in their health, wealth, and relationships.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm a coach as well. So I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, there you go. That's a beautiful thing.
It is. So how do you do it? Can you take us through that little...
What do you mean?
Journey.
The actual...
Take us the journey of how you help someone go from not being confident to being confident.
Sure. Yeah. Well, how I help people go from struggle to strength, really in their health, wealth, and relationships is through a four-step process. What I call unshakable core confidence. And so what I love to do is I love to say, okay, let's say what core confidence is. To me, core confidence is how to develop four key skills and apply them to four key areas of your life, okay? And so the four key skills are clarity, commitment, creativity, and certainty. And then you take those four key skills and you apply them to the four key areas of your life, which are your body, your spirituality, your relationships, and your business. And so that is the framework that we work within that is unshakable core confidence. And so the very first thing that I love to talk about is clarity, getting clear on the facts.
Yes.
Getting clear on the facts. So let's just take your body, for example, right? A lot of people around December 31st love to say, you know what? This next year, I'm going to lose 10 pounds and I'm going to eat right and I'm going to work out every day. And they just go on and on and on. And they have this hazy sort of vision of the future. But what I love to do with people in order to really help them avoid what ends up happening around February 2nd. It's like December 31st, we make all these promises for the new year, and then around the second week of February, it all falls apart. Now, why? Because we don't get clear on the facts of where we are today. That 10 pounds you want to lose, whether it's vanity, I don't know, vanity pounds, whatever. Why is that? Why do you have that 10 pounds? How do you feel about that 10 pounds? What has given you that 10 pounds? When you can get clear on those facts, then you can begin to analyze where you are today and how you can change those facts to get where you want to be tomorrow. That's just a little taste of what I love to do.
Is that like you think a lot of people are in denial about it and aren't accepting of where they are and that prevents them?
Well, yes, some people I think are in denial, but I think we just don't take into consideration where we are today. It's much, much easier to live in this hazy future paradise where we look the way we want to look. We feel the way we want to feel. We have the relationships we want to have. This sort of hazy future paradise that always keeps us reaching and reaching. It's like it's like chasing the caboose on the train, and your fingers are you're always just there. Or you just grab onto it and then you slip off. And it becomes this cycle of just like almost and someday. But if we really truly want to create core confidence, then we have to break that someday cycle. And that sort of the guilt and shame that we place around ourselves when it comes to not hitting the goals and targets and visions of the future that we want to have.
And do you think, is it a fear of commitment that prevents us from getting after all the things we want? What is it?
At the end of the day, when it comes to confidence, if you really want to know what it is, you just have to look at the word confidence. The English root word of confidence is to confide, which means to trust. That's why we tell our secrets to a confidant, a confidant, right? Someone we trust in. But when you don't have confidence, if the root of that is confidence is trust, when you don't confide in self, when you don't have confidence, self-confidence, it means you don't trust yourself. And when you don't trust yourself, you make bad choices. You make bad business decisions. You make bad money decisions. You make bad food decisions because you don't trust yourself. And at the end of the day, when it comes to other people, if there's nothing else that you hear from this podcast, I want you to hear this. If you realize that other people don't see you through their eyes, they see you through your eyes, you'll realize that when you don't have confidence, you are literally telling everyone you meet that they can't trust you.
Wow.
I want to say it again.
Say it again.
So when you understand that other people see you not through their eyes, but they see you through your eyes, you'll recognize that when you don't have confidence, aka when you don't trust yourself, you are literally telling people that you come in contact with that they can't trust you. So if you want to do business with someone and you don't have confidence, you are literally telling them and putting out the energy that says, hey, you can't trust me to do business with me. If you want to be in a relationship with someone, an intimate relationship with someone, and you don't trust yourself, there's that. And you know, we feel that thing in relationships sometimes where you're like, I don't know what it is, but something's off. It's that energy that says to that person you're trying to develop an intimate relationship with, hey, you can't trust me. Bad business decisions, bad money decisions, because you don't trust yourself. And if we want to take it a step further, then, you know, why don't we trust ourselves? Well, the bad thing about telling a lie is that some of the people you know have heard some of the lies you've told, but you've heard all of them. And you've broken your word, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. It's like we've broken our word to ourselves so many times that we can't believe a word we say. So why should we trust in ourselves? And when we can get clear, like going back to the four C's of core confidence, right? When we can get clear on the facts about the things that are holding us back, then we can begin to learn how to undo all of the broken promises that we've made to ourselves and say, okay, Here's where I am right now. You take your body. Here's where I am right now. This is how much I weigh. Hey, this is how many calories I take in. This is how many times I work out every single week. Hey, you know what? When I don't feel like working out, what do I feel like? These are the facts about the things that have stopped me from working out in the past. And when you have a clear vision of where you are today, then you can begin, based on the knowledge of the facts, you can begin to build a future vision and version of yourself that says, okay, I weigh X amount of pounds today. I want to weigh X amount of pounds in 1 month. What am I going to need to do to get there? And then those are the steps where you go into the commitment. What are the commitments that I need to make to myself, to other people? How do I need to get creative about that? And then how can I just be certain and build that trust within myself to do it every single day?
I love that. I want to take a step back. I love what you shared. And kind of going back to becoming a finalist at American Idol, mm-hmm. and then transitioning to what you're doing now, which is amazing. And I'm sure there are times where it was kind of overwhelming, just putting yourself in the spotlight and being seen and all that. Like, how did you handle that as far as like, what did you do for your mental health to keep going in those moments of just,
was a challenge. It was certainly a challenge. I mean, yeah. I grew up around lights and cameras and politics. My dad was a politician in the South. My mom was one of the first 200 people to start up CNN. And so my dad being chief of police in Atlanta and around all the politicians and the media and the press, and my mom actually being a part of the media and the press, I was used to all of that, but nothing prepares you for when you're walking down the street and someone just grabs you and they're like, oh, and they don't really articulate words to you. They just kind of like are so excited to see you. And like nothing prepares you for fame, right? Fame is such an interesting beast because, you know, a lot of people think that they want fame, right? But there's a difference. I think people want celebrity, but they think they want fame, right? A celebrity is literally someone who is celebrated, right? We love these people. We celebrate them and the work that they do. Fame has this weird energy about it where the people who see us as famous more often than not will put around, like, for example, if I just use me, for example, that woman who grabbed me one time and literally didn't say anything. She just kind of sort of hyperventilated. She felt that way, not so much because of who I am, like who Justin is, but she felt that way because of the things that she was placing around me, the feelings, the sort of hero sort of stuff that she was placing that had nothing to do with me, but had everything to do with maybe the voids and the gaps in her life that she then could focus on me. And I was that thing that filled those voids and those gaps for her or gave her inspiration or what. And so
it's a bit of a projection.
Exactly. Yes. Projected those needs onto me. And so how did I deal with my mental health? I mean, there was a lot of, very fortunately, we were protected very well on that show. But it's just a matter of grounding and making sure that I stayed in contact with the people who I knew loved me, who cared about me for me. And it was very difficult because the majority of my family was on the East Coast. And there I was 3,000 miles away in LA becoming like virtually famous overnight. And so it was a significant challenge, but I'm very fortunate to have some amazing parents and just amazing family members who helped keep me grounded.
Hello, this is Kyle Mitchell here, AKA Social Anxiety Kyle. And I just wanted to ask you a quick question. Did you know that 46% of teens have shown signs of a new or a worsening mental health condition since the start of the pandemic? This is a silent pandemic that needs a louder voice. I'm talking about the mental health of teens in schools. And if you want to help with this pandemic, I have just recently started a new mission where I'm focusing on helping 1 million teens go from socially anxious to socially confident. Now, if you want to help me with this mission, I am speaking in schools all across the country. So if you would like me to come speak at your school or your child's school or your niece or nephew, grandchild's school, go to my website, socialanxietykyle.com, or reach out to me on Instagram and let's talk. Let's figure out how to make this happen.
That's amazing. I'm sure I might be projecting here, but like when you're going through it, did you have like your internal critic trying to like bring you down and not help you with your confidence? And how did you deal with that?
Of course. Yes. That, you know, that is the thing that stops most people. That internal critic at the start of any project, and even in the middle of it, I'm in the middle of doing one of the biggest, most challenging webinars I've ever done. And I'm writing it. And today, before I got on this podcast, I was just like, that inner critic, I was tired, and the inner critic was just like, "You, this is crap. You're doing this all wrong. This is the worst thing." And like, even in the middle of it, I just from experience know that okay, that voice is gonna be there. And today I'm a little tired, so my energy's a little low. I don't have my defenses up as much as I can, and so maybe I just need to kind of just chill. I did what I could do. I'm not gonna force it. And you learn to become friends with that voice. I don't try and stop it. I don't try and shove it down, right? Yes. It's like, great, okay. Maybe, because all these things that run through our mind, they're not there to screw us over. They're just defense mechanisms that say, we want you to be safe. Our brains constantly are saying, how can I just stay safe? It is a holdover from like caveman days where it's like, I'm not going to go in that cave unless some other people go in that cave because there might be a bear in there that'll kill. Right. It's those sort of things that like logic that keeps you safe. And yet now with all the other distractions we have, it just becomes this voice that says, just don't do anything and you're terrible. You're the worst. Right. So how did I deal with that voice? I learned to trust more in the moment, trust more in doing the work and just my connection to myself, my connection to the music, my connection to my passion, right? I knew that when I went out there on that stage that if I could just, I mean, I love to say let go and let God. If I could just let go and just let what happened happen. I did the work. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do my thing and it's going to be what it's going to be. And I'm not aiming for perfection because that's such a myth. So that voice came up in my head. And as I'm out there singing and as I've been on live Broadway shows or filming for commercials, that voice happens. But you know, when I really focus more on my passion, being in the moment, having joy and just allowing whatever comes out and trusting that whatever's going to come out is going to be the right thing. It's kind of like when you're working, that voice becomes a radio in the background, right? That voice never leaves. That thing that says you're the worst. Oh my God, there's no way they're gonna buy this. This is the most terrible thing I've ever seen. Right? That it goes from shouting to just like a little whisper in the background, and you're like you're there, and you're like yeah. But like okay, I'm gonna have fun here.
I also think there's value in not being perfect because you stumble in your words and mess up and say I had a terrible day yesterday. It makes you someone that they can kind of trust more because it makes you more human.
Oh yes, that's money these days, right? It used to be I'm 42, and when I was growing up, celebrity was this thing where like it's you, and then there's a huge gulf between you and your audience, and you never show them the truth of what's really going on. You always present this perfect facade and all that people get turned off by that now, and so. That's why I love to tell people. Yeah, I do too. Because I'm like, you're full of it. There's no way. You know what I mean? It's like, I do not buy this. This is so not authentic.
You sound like a robot right now.
Do I?
No, not you. I'm saying when they're doing that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we don't buy it because we know better now. The earth is flat. Oh, well, the earth is flat in the sense of like the earth is flat. Like people are more connected, right? The earth is very round. Trust. So that being said, that's why I love to tell people, you know, a lot of people talk about, hey, what's my superpower? My superpower is Facebook ads, or my superpower is this, that, the other. My superpower is failure. I love to fail. I love it. It's one of my most favorite things to do because I've learned to become friends with it. And I recognize that every single time I fail, it's not because I'm not good enough. It's not because I don't know enough. It's not because, you know, God's out to get me. It's because I'm just learning one more way how not to do things, right? And eventually, if I keep failing over and over again, faster and faster, I'm going to find a way that works, right? And so failure, instead of being an outcome, a result, failure then just becomes a mindset. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, failure is not an outcome. Failure is a mindset. And so I'm just going to keep failing, and shift my perspective to see that, this is the greatest thing. Because I'm going to get it. I'm going to find what works, and then it will be as a result of failing so many times. So
that's so beautiful. Yeah. My next question is one I've never asked a guest ever. And is are you open to singing a part of a song?
A part of a song. There you go. I sang a part of a song. That's my dad joke. It's my dad joke for the day. It's my dad joke for the day.
My dad always says that. I was like, Dad, I'm hungry. He's like, nice to meet you, hungry.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. The classic. Yeah, your dad's got the classics.
If you had one message for the world, what would that message be?
Stop taking yourself so seriously. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I mean, there's room for being serious. But there's also being too serious. And, you know, if we look at it from like use social ninjas, right? Like from a marketing perspective, if I may be so bold as to go
from
a marketing
perspective.
Yeah. Like there's this thing in social media marketing, and it's this thing that trips up so many people. And I'll start by saying this. Metrics are important. Knowing your numbers from a business perspective, right? Like how much cash you're expending versus, you know, how much cash you're making, right? From like your body, like how many calories you're taking in versus how many calories you're burning. From a relationship, how much quality time you're spending with your partner versus how much quality time you're spending with yourself. Knowing these numbers, again, we talk about clarity, like I said before, one of the foundational principles of core confidence. Getting clear on metrics, the numbers, the data is so important. But we now have this thing, we have had these things for a while, these sort of dopamine things in social media called likes, hearts, comments,
yeah.
Follower count. Ooh, follower count. Even. I just
got three new followers. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing. Yeah. Oh, wait. I only got three new followers? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. 600 people liked this thing. Yeah. And let me tell you, there's one thing that's to be said for metrics, like metrics that move the needle. Calories in versus calories out, right? Whether I want to gain weight or lose weight, those metrics will be huge. That data will be huge in helping me to gain weight or lose weight. Calories in versus calories out. But we trip up over things that I've heard one of my favorite marketers, Peng Jun, call vanity metrics. Vanity metrics. And vanity metrics is data that does not move the needle forward for us. It only serves to either soothe or crush our ego. So vanity metrics in the sense of social media, Instagram, likes, comments, I mean, all of social media, right? Likes, comments, hearts, even follower count. They're vanity metrics. They do not matter. Those metrics in and of themselves do not matter. How many likes your posts get doesn't matter. How many followers you have, it actually doesn't matter. How many comments, it does not matter in terms of how valid you are, in terms of how much impact you can make. And I'll give you an example of why. Beyonce. And I have the exact numbers right here because this is actually part of the webinar that I'm doing. So Beyonce has 172 million followers. 172 million followers she has. Wow. She gets an average of 2 million likes per post. Average 20,000 comments. Now tell me, you, me, everybody we know would practically kill to have those kind of metrics, right?
I personally would be overwhelmed, but yeah, mostly.
Well, but you know what? Well, look, yeah, maybe you'd be overwhelmed, but you'd figure it out, yeah, right? We'd all figure it out somehow, some way. mm-hmm. right? Because you know that you can monetize stuff like that, right? It's like follower mm-hmm. account. But when it comes to her actual, the numbers behind those numbers, okay, 172 million followers, average of 2 million likes per post, an average of 20,000 comments. When we look at those numbers and we average how much her audience is really paying attention to her on Instagram, those 2 million likes, when you divide it by her 172 million followers, that equals 1%. It's actually 1.1%. So that means only 1% of the 172 million people that follow her on Instagram are actually even bothering to go tap, tap and like her post.
What does that mean to you?
Well, that what that means to me is that the majority, 99% of the audience is either not seeing what she's doing on Instagram anyway, or not bothering to engage with her. And that leads me to the point of follower accounts, likes, comments, all of that are meaningless unless you can get your people to engage with you. Unless you can get them to have a conversation with you and then develop a relationship with them based on those conversations. I mean, business relationship is really what I'm talking about here. And so I know this is kind of a long roundabout path to get to not taking yourself so seriously, but it's like, wait, learn to see the things that really matter and that add value to your day and add value to your life. There's so many sort of vanity metrics. Again, I use that Instagram example, but there's so many vanity metrics like in life where we're just like, we're so focused on what everybody else thinks of us and how everybody else feels. And we, as a result, can sometimes take ourselves really seriously, too seriously, as a matter of fact. And so if we begin to see the things that matter and the quality time that we can spend with ourselves, the quality time that we can spend with people that we love, we begin to let go of just all of the vanity metrics of like, oh, how much money am I making? What car am I driving? What's the perfect social media post that I got to put? Right? So my message to the world, my message to the world, and I.
What do you mean? We're going to need a big billboard for this.
Big billboard. But what it'll be is don't take yourself so seriously, and then just all the rest of it in like the tiniest of
smaller.
Yeah. That's it. That's like that's like 1 year, one of my siblings got my parents like The Merchant of Venice as like one big poster. Oh. It's like literally the entirety of The Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare on one poster. Oh. And the script is like so small. So I think that's the billboard we're going to have. We're going to have Don't Take Yourself So Seriously. And then
all the stuff. Yeah.
All of it. Yeah.
That's so good. And have Everything Doesn't Matter. You think those? Oof.
Oof.
Oof. Anyways, well, I'm in Los Angeles. So you can always reach out to me if you're having a bad day. I got you, Justin.
Hey, cheers, man.
Got you, J-Dog.
Thank you, brother.
And if people are listening to this and would like to find you on the social media, where can they find you?
All you have to do is go to @JustinGuarini. If you don't know how to spell that, just look up @the guy with the hair from American Idol. That's where you can find me. But yeah, I'm Justin Guarini on everything. And if you'd like to find out more about Core Confidence, all you have to do is go to coreconfidencecoaching.com and you can actually download my my book Unshakable Confidence, which is coming out soon.
Oh, it's gonna be so good.
Thanks. So please check out his new book coming out and have confidence and stop taking yourself so seriously.
Anyways.
Nice. I was about to get to make some popcorn.
Thank you so much for hanging out today.
Pleasure. And pleasure.
Whoever is still listening, I see you. I love you. You're amazing. You're confident, you know? And I invite you to give yourself the biggest hug in this moment and tell yourself, I'm doing the best I can and I'm having fun as I go along this journey of life and I'm not alone. Ah. And we'll see you all next week.